This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Anna Murphy, we're very blessed.
I know, aren't we?
Because we're right slap bang in the middle of the comedy festival.
Like, it just kicked off last week. Yeah. This is right prime time.
And we've had some okay comedians in, but now we've taken it to a whole new level because this guy is internationally famous for being just an amazing Scotsman.
Very funny.
Larry
man.
Dean, welcome to Joy.
Thank you so much for having us. I'm really intrigued of who these other comics are.
Oh, no, well, that would be telling. We couldn't
possibly.
Yeah, no,
exactly. I want a good gossip session
now. Yeah, go out for a drink with them tonight and go, do you know what they said about you?
Yeah, exactly. I'm taking that quote from my post off.
Now, listen, Larry, you've done amazing things over all out throughout the UK and stuff. Like in 2015, you were Edinburgh Comedy Award Best Newcomer nominee, which is pretty big for the UK.
Yeah, it was cool, man. And then, because I was up against loads of my mates. It was really nice. Jenny, every single time I've ever been nominated for something, since comedians, we tend to kind of all know each other and stuff, I've never been nominated with somebody I didn't want to win instead. Because you know what I mean? If you ever get nominated for an award and then somebody wins that you don't like, you're like, oh God, I can't believe they bloody
won. I was going to say, are you just being nice there?
No, I'm not, Jenny. No, trust me. If there was one in which I didn't want to win, I'd let you know. I get a billboard taken out and stuff like that.
So how's your shows going so far?
Yeah, decent, man. It's weird because my audiences tend to be like really different each kind of night. At the same time, I tend to ask in the gig, like not at the very beginning, but usually in the middle, of how many gay people are in tonight, because then it depends of how many gay people are in the lingo I can use that they'll understand. Because sometimes you'll say words or things and you think, oh, hold on, I need to explain this to the breeders in the audience now.
No, I can identify with that because I'm the same, like being a straight girl with a lot of gay friends.
Yeah.
A lot of my, because like, I do some stand-up, not at your level at all, but, you know, I've got a lot of stuff that I'll talk about because my gay mates have told me, and I look out and there's just straight faces going, what? And
I'm like, straight in both senses of the world,
eh? Now I need to actually explain that and this is going to be awkward for everyone, like, you know, batting down the hatches. So, yeah, I completely
know. And it's the strange thing of when you have to explain some of this stuff, you think, oh, actually, maybe I do understand why you didn't know about that.
Yeah, exactly. I know why you're not talking about that one.
Now, listen, Larry, I have to be honest. Okay, so when Anna and our producer said we've got Larry Dean coming in on Monday, I was like, who the hell is Larry Dean?
I didn't know.
But I did some research and I saw one of your videos, and I think it was a local one that you've done here where you were talking about a woman who gave you a ticket on a train.
Oh, yeah.
And your Aussie accent, mate, is awesome.
Oh, thanks so much.
But I have to let our gay audience know, for the gentlemen out there listening to the radio show, Larry's a very good-looking dude.
Oh, cheers, mate.
I'm just trying to lift your profile with the gay community.
Yeah, exactly.
No, come into the gig,
I get told I look like Voldemort. It's like, if you like a guy that looks so pale he must be ill, go and see Larry Dean. But I think it's a practice Aussie accent a lot because basically the amount of times that people don't understand what I'm saying is insane. So order a coffee, I have to do it a couple of times and then you just stare at me and I'm like, I'm going to have to get this right.
But I was just going to, because this is, how many years have you been out for the comedy festival now?
I think it's my fourth year.
So is it getting easier? Like, do you feel like
there's a few days, like the same way you get jet lag for a few days, I also get like voice lag, which I have to kind of adapt my accent down and down. But it's,
by the end of the festival, it's fine.
Oh, by the end of the festival, I'm talking like this.
It's so weird though that a genuine female Australian accent comes more naturally to me than a male one.
I don't know what to say about that.
I know, it's so weird though.
Well, I've always said that Anna sounds like a bloke, so she doesn't relate to that at all.
Yeah, no, I do relate with all of that. Thanks.
I'm not getting involved in this little spot.
So listen, Larry, obviously you're touring the world and you're doing all this stuff with some really top class comedians. Who's your favourite comedian?
Oh, my favourite comedian ever, or like who's working? I don't know.
A bit of both.
Both. All right, cool. Well, my favourite comedians ever, probably like Richard Pryor, Jim Carrey, Billy Connolly, Robin Williams. It's usually that kind of like basically a bit of physicality, and like I love when someone tells you a story and then they act out the story a wee bit.
Well, you do that so well. Are you still doing any of the dinosaur stuff? Well, does that come out sometimes?
It sometimes comes out. It depends, really. It's because this year I've got a dog in my show.
Okay.
I tend to kind of just, once I find an animal or a species that I like, I'm like, right, I'm gonna try and do that. So I can bark like a dog, which was really nice. That Tim Vine, who's on the show before me, he's one of my heroes, just turned to me and went, that's really accurate, that bark
that you can do. And I'm like, thank you very much.
That must be such a thrill, though, if you've worked on something and then someone that you look up to sort of gives you a compliment about that. So,
yeah, totally.
You'd be like, yes, I'm winning here.
Yeah, when I got told I was on the same room as him, I was like, you've got to be joking me. Oh my God, it's Tim Vine. It's actually somebody I've been watching for years and I've always been like, I wish I could do that.
And now how does it feel? Like, have you done it?
So it's probably about my third, we've done three shows now together.
Yeah, so you're feeling all right now?
It's still cool. It's still, oh my God.
Man, now the new show is called Bampot.
Yeah. Bampot.
Where the hell did that come from? What is it? Is it this weird Scottish thing going on?
Well, basically, I kind of came up with the idea of, from now on, I'm only going to call my shows like really Glasgow words.
Yeah.
So last year was called Fandan, which I wanted to call it that because basically nobody knows what it means unless you're from Glasgow, and it's a dirty, well, it's not a dirty word, it's a Glaswegian word for a lady part, if you know what I'm talking about.
A Fandan.
A Fandan, yeah.
I quite like that word.
It's nice, isn't it?
To adopt it.
and Bampot is a word that means a head case, like a nutter. Yeah.
Dean's a Bampot.
Oh, what?
It's great that you said that.
Now, the actual show itself, are you talking all stuff Scottishness, sodomites, self-esteem?
I know, you've got to get the alliteration into a description. Yeah. well, it's strange because the show, like, it kind of changed a lot because you have to, like, send all these, like, forums and stuff in
ages
months before.
In advance,
yeah,
yes.
Just, like, so I've got 6 months of my life to kind of live between then, and you're like, oh, I might have something else funny happen to
you. I see what you're doing here, just being broad.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can just fit, because everybody says the same thing, like the comedy, is it for every festival around the world does the same thing that you have
it to
tends
to be, but it does usually a start point. So most Australian comedians, their first show of doing the new run of shows will be in like maybe Adelaide or Perth Fringe before Melbourne, because everybody's terrified of doing Melbourne as their first one because Melbourne's the big prestigious one. Yeah,
it really is it?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
There's nothing more silent than a Melbourne audience that doesn't like you.
No, very judgy crowds here, judgy.
That is the most silent thing in the universe, is a Melbourne audience that isn't enjoying themselves.
But it must make it sweeter when they are.
Oh yeah, it's the complete opposite. When you're doing well at a Melbourne gig, you're like, oh my God, I'm the king of comedy. It's incredible.
But yeah, so it's about 6 months beforehand. You've got to put in your description.
I usually start mine at Edinburgh, and I have to, like, my description usually is around about, probably about May. Usually I've definitely got to get my description. So I just thought I'd keep it broad.
Yeah.
So originally it was going to be about childhood stuff, and there's now quite a lot of childhood stuff in it, but then it's about a relationship I had with a guy who lived in Williamstown. And so how that kind of, we'd gone out for 3 years and then we broke up. And then, but then next year's show is going to be about the similar, because everybody keeps asking me questions at the end of the show, being like, so what happened after?
Oh, so you've got to go, it's like an ongoing story.
Yeah, so next year I'll tell you all about that as well.
Did it end badly?
No, it didn't end badly. It was a strange one because any relationship, like when you love somebody and it ends, obviously it's ending badly. But then it's kind of, people are going to say it's very sweet at the end, and I thought it was sweet. But then the story afterwards as well is quite interesting. So, but yeah, it's a.
Sounds like there's a lot more to this.
I know, I feel like rom-com Bridget Jones's Diary kind of stuff.
It's amazing.
Dr. Phil moment.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, Larry, can I ask you a question? Because, look, I know Anna, I've known her since birth, actually.
We're siblings.
Anyway, so, but I've known what she's done, and then she's got into stand-up comedy, and I sort of look at her when she was heading out to these little local bars, and there's three people in there, and no one's laughing, and I'm thinking, why? Why do you want to do this? What made you want to do stand-up? And what were you doing before that?
Oh, mainly because I'm an attention whore.
Me too.
Exactly. You may as well just be honest about it. Just go.
Exactly. I just like people to laugh.
Yeah.
At me.
Stop asking me questions. Just look at me. Before I was kind of, I just was in school and then I wasn't going to go to uni and that. I was working in a pizza place delivering pizzas and then at weekends I was cleaning toilets. So like maybe I could have kept doing that. I could have been a world famous pizza delivery guy.
Absolutely. Or toilet cleaner.
Yeah, I think toilet cleaner is actually weirdly satisfying actually.
Is it?
Yeah, just because you get to see it get clean out.
Let's not go into this.
So when you've done all that and now you're travelling around the world doing stand-up, it must be such a different world, like such a different life.
Yeah, well, I kind of did it to prove my dad wrong and prove quite a few people wrong because it was like, for uni, I could have, basically I got accepted to go into like a writing and performance degree and then one of my teachers was like, oh, you'll never move all the way down to Southampton, which is like this very south of England from Glasgow. And then I was like, oh, I really want to prove you wrong, but I don't want to move to Southampton. And then my dad said, oh, you're not funny. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to do this degree and I'm going to be funny. Oh. So I'm just trying to prove my dad. This is all just to prove my dad wrong.
They must be proud of you now. Like, they must go, wow.
My dad actually, yeah, my dad's kind of, he's getting there. he doesn't think I'm as funny as him, which is a fair enough. And but then I've not seen my teacher ever since he said, oh, no, I did actually see him after and he just went, God, you proved me wrong with that. And I was like, oh, yeah.
See, that's good. With your dad, has he ever got on stage and tried to be funny?
No, he hasn't, but he actually saw me for the first time a year ago. And
changed the perception a little bit?
Kind of. I think it was more him just in the room with other people. And then, because you know when somebody says, oh, that person's not funny or that person's not funny. But then if they go to the actual gig and they see people around them laughing their heads off or whatever, it makes them go, oh, well, maybe it's just not for me. Because I think that's the strange thing about comedy is people just think it's black and white of like, that's funny and that's not. And it's like, well,
it's so varied and subjective.
Exactly. Yeah. You wouldn't say Eric Clapton's a bad guitarist.
No, but
you
would, he's not great.
Ignore him.
But you would say, well, it's not my type of music or whatever totally. Like that. But with comedy, it seems to be, since people have a thing that they find funny and they don't find funny, they just decide that's it.
And do you find that you get lots of people coming up to you going, hey, I've got a good one for you. I reckon you should talk about these. Like, I've got a few friends of friends through groups now that I do some stand-up and they'll come up to me and be like, hey, I've got something for you. You need to throw. And I'm like, okay, cool. And you're just like, at your level, you must get that all the time.
Well, yes, it's not even randomers that do that. It's mainly like family members will go, oh, you should talk about your Uncle Michael and stuff. And I'm like, okay, I say to the point of like, if you go to meet somebody for the first time and you go and talk to them about Uncle Michael, do you honestly think that conversation's going to last long? Or do you think they're going to walk away?
Because
the whole thing of stand-up is it's you meeting an audience for the first time and it's supposed to be personal and you're supposed to have a chat with them the way you would have a chat with somebody
that you're just meeting. Yeah. Absolutely.
Until about half an hour and then you get to go dirty.
And then you can go dirty,
Now, we've just had a message in from James from Fitzroy who said that you sound really, really great for a Scotsman and watch your grinder profile.
Oh dear.
I don't know.
Look, you know, setting comedians up
with dates. That's the quality of our listeners out there. Anyway, hey, listen.
I'm on the wrong radio station for me to get a date.
We've got to give some dates here for your shows too. So it's Thursday 28th of March to Sunday the 21st of April and it's at the Acme. And the Acme, I don't know where the Acme is, Anna Murphy. Where's Acme?
Fed Square.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah, good place. And tickets, if you want tickets, go to Comedy Festival.
Dean doesn't get out a lot.
Comedyfestival.com.au. But we have to wind it up. Thank you, Larry, so much for your
thanks
time.
Thanks for having us on, guys.
And,
I really appreciate it.
We'll come along and judge you.
Oh, yeah, go for it. Yeah, do the Melbourne thing.
Just ignore him. Thank you so much for your time today and best of luck with the rest of the festival.
You're on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.